Catholic Answers Live. My name is Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm sitting in for your regular and more clever, more intelligent, more good-looking host, Cy Kellett. Cy is taking a couple of days off with his lovely wife, Missy, and they went to the beach. Yes, it's true. People here in San Diego do go to the beach from time to time, so they're taking a few well-deserved days off, and I will be with you today and tomorrow, and Cy will be back in this chair, thanks be to God, on Wednesday. I was talking to Cy Kellett at the end of last week, and he said, I really like it, Chris, when you fill in for me. And I said, thank you, Cy, that's very good to say. And he said, no, it gives me job security. So, very well. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH to call in. Our second hour, staff apologist Carlo Broussard will be here to talk about another in his series of the Bible Blueprint, and this will be the Bible Blueprint for the priesthood. Where in Scripture do we find evidence for the priesthood? So we'll be looking forward to having Carlo in the second hour. In the first hour, ask a priest, and look at that. I can't think of anybody better for this than my older and wiser brother, the one my parents put all the effort into, Father Paul Check, from the Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe in La Crosse. Though, my brother, you were not joining us from the Shrine. You are in a room that I recognize quite well.
I'm in a secret location in Texas, visiting our parental units.
Yeah, so our mother's birthday is tomorrow, right? I should know that.
Everybody should
read it. Yeah, so everyone pray for Diane Check on her birthday tomorrow. I think she's old enough to drink. Is that true, my brother?
Yeah, that is very true. We'll test that right after this program.
Amen, amen. So, and you're getting some much-deserved and needed rest, I hope, as well.
Of course, it's always good to come here, unplug for a little while to some degree, but keeping my hand in the work just the same.
Yeah, and you've been very, very busy with the work at the Shrine. 888-318-7884. Our topic this hour is Ask a Priest. If you have a question in particular that you think a Catholic priest is particularly suited to answer, so something about your spiritual life, for example, your prayer life, struggles that you may be having in your interior life, with relationships in your marriage, with your children, but perhaps it's a question of sacramental nature. That is what priests do for us, as dispense the sacraments, or maybe just a question generally about ecclesiology, that is the way the church operates. And so all those questions are fair game. 888-318-7884. Ask a priest with Father Paul Check, my older brother of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse. My brother, I know probably you are better suited to give our listening audience, all of whom are praying. We had such abundant response on social media over the weekend when we shared with the world that His Eminence, the wise and holy Cardinal Burke, has the COVID virus and is in the hospital receiving care. But what can you tell us about him, my brother?
Well, and of course, we're very happy that you were able to enlist the prayerful support of so many people. His Eminence is my superior, my boss in the church, and the Cardinal is, of course, very important to many people for many reasons. So we released the statement on a Saturday, as you said, that the Cardinal had been placed on a ventilator. And so he is sedated and is receiving excellent medical care, and the doctors who are attending to him are superb, and they are hopeful. Of course, we know that this virus is very difficult. It affects people in particular ways, depending on their age and their health. So the prayerful support for the Cardinal is something that's much needed. I know, because I've received many texts, emails, phone calls from people wanting to reach out and express not only their concern, but their ideas and suggestions, and understandably wanting more information. I would really just urge people to wait for us to release information when it comes about significant changes in the Cardinal's health. And in the meantime, just to do what they've been doing, struggling heavily with their prayers.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. I am Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. My guest, Father Paul Check, Executive Director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, giving us an update on His Eminence Cardinal Burke. My brother, I don't want to dwell on this, but I do feel something of a need to say this. It was very edifying to see the outpouring of support on our own social media and elsewhere, indicating prayers for His Eminence, rosaries, sacrifices, things of this nature. But it was also a little disedifying to see some of the conversation in the press and in social media. Because His Eminence, in his responsibilities, in his pastoral responsibilities, had raised some questions about the vaccine, and they're almost in some places very dissatisfying to see, almost sort of some gloating, either under the radar or quite out in the open, with respect to this. And this is not what His Eminence needs. It's not what the Church needs right now either.
No, look, so what to say? The cardinal is a man who is devoted to the truth and knowing the truth and conforming his mind and heart to the truth. This is his integrity. And if we think about the providence of God, there are two spheres. And this could be a question from one of your callers. There's the sphere of nature and the sphere of grace. In other words, we live in two worlds, as it were, at the same time, in the natural order, because we're created beings, where reason, where cause and effect, where time are things which influence and even limit us. And then in the supernatural order, the order of grace, which we first come into at baptism, is something that's not bound by time. And cause and effect is in the hands of God. And not only is there reason, but there is ultimately faith. In the order of nature, the Church is deferential to the natural sciences because she considers herself an expert in humanity, an expert in divine revelation, but not an expert in physics, in medicine, in chemistry. These are the natural sciences. So she respects that, and I think the questions that the cardinal raised were very much in the natural order, and there are many other people who have done that too, people of goodwill, people of good experience, people of sound judgment and training. And I think the cardinal was just raising questions that deserve good answers. And for that, I think we should be grateful.
Amen. Amen. All right, my brother, I'm grateful to you for that update, and we'll be looking forward in the days preceding to hear of His Eminence's progress. And I would also ask all of our listeners to pray for my brother. He's got a substantial responsibility there at the shrine, and now, of course, this adds to it, and he's navigating it well, given the magnificent training he had as a Marine Corps officer and his experience as a priest. But nonetheless, my brother can use your prayers, and I'll thank you for including him as well. Shall we, 888-318-7884, my brother, shall we take some calls? All right, let's go to John in Sydney, Australia, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. John, thank you for putting the Catholic Answers app on your phone. And welcome to Catholic Answers Live. John, are you there? John and John, here we are.
Hello.
Welcome.
How's it going?
Very good.
How are you?
You sound like you're from Australia. Very good. How can we help you?
hi, Father. Just a quick question. I understand that we reserve the Holy Sacrament for adoration and communing the sick or those who may not be able to attend Mass. But I've been finding when I go to Mass when I can go because we're in lockdown right now, but I've been finding when we go to Mass that sometimes the priest may consecrate a host and then turn to the tabernacle and then he will grab consecrated hosts from previous Masses and then we commune from that. Is this the correct way to be doing things? And if so, how can we explain the theology, in defense of that, where other traditions may choose to consume all of the sacraments rather than reserving them, and then always making sure that it's from that Mass that they're partaking in?
Yeah, wonderful.
John, it's a good question, and it calls to mind the very nature of the Eucharist itself, which is the real and abiding presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ under the appearance of bread and wine. We know that those communion breads become a host after they're consecrated, the sacrificial victim of Christ on the cross, now present in the Eucharist and, of course, also in the chalice. So I think the Church's preference liturgically is that the host that is received at Mass has been consecrated at the Mass, but she doesn't make that a firm requirement. And that theologically would be based on what we've just considered, that a host now is Jesus Christ. And for practical reasons, and you noted one or two of them, adoration and the presence of Christ in the tabernacle for communion calls, the practicalities of distributing communion at Mass may also come into play when too many hosts have been consecrated at Mass. Or in the case of what was consecrated on the altar, it's insufficient for those people who were there, and then the priest has recourse to the reserve sacrament. That happens to us at the shrine periodically, both of those things. So there's nothing wrong with this. I think it's right to say, yes, it would be better to receive hosts that are consecrated at the Mass, but it's not a liturgical requirement. It's not something that should cause us any concern.
John, is that helpful?
Yes, okay.
All right, Glory, thanks for calling in. And share the Catholic Answers Live app far and wide down under there. I know I am, and I know that the Catholic Answers apologists, in cooperation with our friends there at Perugia, are looking forward to coming down there again before too long when the world starts spinning again. I had a delightful time there in Sydney and in Melbourne, especially there with the young adults there at Theology at the Pub. What a great night that was. So looking forward to being in the company of our Australian brothers before too long. My brother, we're going to go to a break. Before we do, I want to tell our listeners, the clever people in my marketing department call Mondays Manic Monday, which means that everything at on the school, all the School of Apologetics courses are half price. So all of Jimmy's courses, Trent's, Tim Staples, Carlo's, and my courses on the Inquisition and the Galileo Fair, all half price, Mondays only. Visit shop.catholic.com to take advantage of Manic Monday right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
Truth. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett, who's getting some much needed R&R with his lovely wife Missy, and enjoying the beautiful vitamin D available to us here in abundance in sunny San Diego and relaxing on the beach. 888-318-7884. Our topic this hour: ask a priest questions about your interior life, your prayer life, your sacramental life, the church, the way the church operates. Why does she do what she does? With me, my guest, my older brother, Father Paul Check, executive director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Wisconsin. And although he is joining us from my mom's study in Arlington, Texas, there on the eve of her birthday, so best wishes to my mom. My brother will go back to calls. Let's go to Christian in Schaumburg, Illinois, right there next to O'Hare Airport. Christian, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
For sure.
I had a question for Father Chuck real fast, directly related to the Shrine of Our Guadalupe in La Crosse. Last week you had mentioned that the Pope had offered an indult for pilgrims coming to the shrine as if they were going to the one in Mexico City. I was curious as to what an individual might have to do to qualify to receive those graces, if there's anything specific beyond just like registering to go on a pilgrimage.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Just to clarify, the indult came from the Pontifical Council for New Evangelization. That's certainly one of the dicasteries that works for the Pope. But the signature is the prefect of that dicastery, Archbishop Fisichella. No, I don't think you have to do anything special other than go to the shrine with the intention of being a pilgrim and bringing your prayer intentions to the tabernacle, bringing them to the shrine church, and just having the disposition to receive the grace that our Lord wants to bestow upon you. And then you will receive that grace, God willing, and it will be a great blessing for you.
How's that, Christian?
Works for me. Thank you very much.
Not a very far drive from you or for you there from suburban Chicago. So definitely make a visit out there. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett, Catholic Answers Live. And of course, we can't have an hour with Father Check without a call from Frank in Lake Wylie. Frank, welcome to Catholic Answers.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And the Cardinal is in our prayers, as is Father Check and the Texas Checks.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Father, in a local church bulletin on Sunday, the pastor wrote, "The church has spoken extensively about the morality of the vaccine, and the judgment from the Holy See is that Catholics can and should use them in good conscience." The should part was the part that I wonder about.
Yeah.
Did the Holy See say that we should use them?
Well, there's certainly been an encouragement, I think, on the part of the Holy Father. But his dicastery for looking careful at these questions is the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. And in their document, the CDF makes plain that no one should be coerced or forced, and that the choice to take the vaccine should be done in freedom and in peace. I'm not quoting it, but that's the essence of it. So I would say the official text on the question of the vaccine from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith leaves Catholics free as a matter of prudential judgment, and that strikes me as the right course of action.
How's that, Frank?
So,
go ahead.
That's very helpful. So Holy See didn't say that we necessarily should, but that we can. I think the should might be a little...
Yes, is a little strong. I would agree with you.
A little strong.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Call Frank, listening on the Carolina Catholic Radio app. Our prayers for Carolina Catholic Radio, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Austin in New York watching on YouTube. Austin, thank you for watching Catholic Answers on YouTube. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Austin, we hear part of your family there, but I'm not sure we hear you. Hello, Austin. I think we can, Zach, can we come back to Austin? Can we go to Nancy in Chicago? Nancy in Chicago watching on Facebook. Welcome.
Hi, both Father Chuck and Chris. I'm just calling with all the talk lately over the traditional at Mass, what the laity prefers or why they go. I'd like to know why. If any reason, the traditional Latin Mass is better or not for the priest's faith life, for his sanctification, for him, and if he had, if Father Chuck has any point of views there.
Sure.
Nancy, I much appreciate that question because I'm a priest who offers both forms of the Mass, and I have regularly offered what Pope Benedict called the extraordinary form since Summorum Pontificum, came out in 2008. Was that 2008? I'll tell you one of the reasons why I'm drawn to the traditional Mass with regard to what you've just said is that the actions of the priest at the altar are much more tightly regulated and much more specifically laid out in the rubrics. And so it has the effect of causing me to pay more attention to what I'm doing to ensure that I am offering the Mass according to the mind of the Church in the Missal of 1962. So that requires, at least for me, a greater discipline and a greater attention. And I think it means that my personality should disappear a little bit more because I'm trying to be thoughtful and careful about what the Church is asking me to do. I think it's Aristotle of Plato, one of the two, that says that the slave is the tool in the hand of the master. And what's happening at the altar is that the priest is putting himself in the hands of the high priest, who is actually the one who's moving him around, according to the mind of the Church. And that's a very good image, it seems to me, because in a way, the priest should disappear. He's an instrument of grace, and his personality is unimportant at the Mass, except maybe in with care as he's giving the sermon. So does that answer your question? Does that make sense, Nancy?
Absolutely. Actually, that's really beautiful imagery, just that the Father just seamlessly is there. That's absolutely beautiful. Yes, I appreciate that, Father Chuck. Thank you.
Nancy, are you a parishioner there at St. John Cantius in Chicago?
I am, actually. Yeah. Yes,
very good.
I am. I actually live near the previous caller. He lives in Schaumburg. I actually live in Mount Prospect,
okay,
right next door to
sure.
him. But we make the trip to St. John Cantius. Yes.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a beautifully offered liturgy there at St. and magnificent music as well.
God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Nancy. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. I'm Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Our topic this hour is Ask a Priest. Any question that you may have about perhaps your interior life, relationships in your life, your marriage, your children, perhaps you are considering discerning a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. Perhaps you have a question about the Church, the way she operates, why she does what she does, why she's organized the way that she is organized. So any kind of question you think a Catholic priest is particularly suited to answer, Father Check is here to answer them for you. 888-318-7884. Let's try again. Austin in New York, watching on YouTube. Austin, thanks for watching the Catholic Answers YouTube channel, which has 140,000 subscribers or something like that. Zach's telling me pretty close, right? Very good. Austin, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello?
Yes, Austin, there you are.
Okay, great. Yeah, that was my family. I live alone.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. We had some noise there. That's okay. I'm glad we've got you on the show. What's your question for Father Check?
My question is, what's the explanation for Romans 10:6-7?
All right, I'm going to have to open up a Bible and look at it unless you can read it to me.
My brother, I'll give it to you.
But the
righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Romans 10, yes. 6 to 7.
I need a minute with that. Have you got an interpretation that you're thinking about?
I kind of read that maybe has something to do with like the Old Testament, and it's kind of like with the Jews, with something the Jews said, like how is this possible or something like that, like a figure of speech.
Well, righteousness is the word that would have been the Old Testament word for sanctity and holiness as we consider things in the New Testament. I'd have to go look at that. I'll admit it doesn't come right off the top of my head, but it certainly in Pauline theology, righteousness is not something that it was imparted to us according to what we've done, according to our moral actions, our choices, but rather righteousness is something that's imparted to us by Christ, and he is the one who justifies us, and he is the one who gives us the divine life, that makes us pleasing to God and makes our actions pleasing to Him. Does that help a bit?
I kind of had like a hold up. There's this. I don't know how to explain it, but I think because I was reading it this on like a commentary, and I think it was asking like who can do this or like how who can like know a certain thing like or like know like I don't know how to explain it like.
Austin, Austin, let me jump in here. We're going to go to a hard break here, and then we'll give Father Cech a little time to think about this question. Then just hang on after the break, and we'll pick this right up. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, Catholic Answers Live. Chris Cech sitting in for Cy Kellett right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our 7th annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there. Join us September 23rd to 26th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. It's a great chance to meet all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and very special guests as we spend 4 days talking about worshiping and adoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where it all begins. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite, inspire, and inform your faith. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register.
This is Dr. David Anders. Does the problem of evil keep you from believing in God?
Join us for Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Chris Cech sitting in for Cy Kellett, my guest this hour for Ask a Priest. Father Paul Cech, Executive Director of the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin. My brother, we're gonna let one of the exegetes here at Catholic Answers help Austin out. Did you wanna say anything else though with respect to St. Paul's theology of righteousness?
I'm gonna stand with St. Peter, who in one of his letters says about St. Paul's letters, there are wonderful things in them, but some of them are hard to understand.
Right, very
good. I'll hide behind the first pope.
All right, very good, very good. Well, it's one certainly that Jimmy or Tim are going to be able to field for us. Speaking of Tim, by the way, my friends, all of you who are listening, as many of you know, Tim had a new shoulder installed last week, and so he has been having a little bit of a slightly rocky recovery, but he is on the road to recovery, and I ask you very much to keep him in your prayer. So pray for Tim Staples. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, Catholic Answers Live. Let's go to Michelle in York, Nebraska, listening on one of my favorite regional networks, Spirit Catholic Radio, run by the great Jim Carroll. Michelle, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you. Thank you both for what you do, and happy birthday to your mother.
Yes, Glory.
My question is about the blessings that parents can give to their children. And ever since my kids were little, I've just used holy water to bless them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I just want to make sure that that is okay and that that type of blessing is not reserved just for priests.
No, that's a good question, Michelle. And by all means, continue with that practice. The blessing with holy water is a sacramental, and it's something that certainly parents can do for their children. It comes from the authority that both nature and grace have given to parents over their children to build them up in truth and in grace. So that is quite appropriate. And it comes from your office. So as parents, that Christ has entrusted that to you.
Pat, what are the ages of your children? Excuse me, Michelle, what are the ages of your children?
They are 3, almost 6, and 9.
Good. Well, some vocations in there, we hope.
Hopefully, we'll see.
All right. Glory. Well, God bless you for your motherhood, Michelle. Let's go to Pat in Pennsylvania, listening on Alexa. Pat, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. Hi. I'm worried about the talking to my dead husband and my daughter and the people who died in our family. I didn't get a clear message. One time I heard it was okay, and another time I heard it wasn't, that it was a sin. I don't want to go into necromancy, but I just wanted clarification on that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Good question.
Okay. Well, Pat, certainly, and our sorrow for the losses that you've experienced in your family. Certainly, the prayers that you would offer to and for them are meritorious. They're noble. Whether our dead relatives can hear us or not is something that I think we are uncertain about. And I think we can trust in God's providence that if there are things that He wants to be communicated, that He can do that. What's more important for us, I think, to think about is something that's already in your Catholic mind and heart, and that is what the Church calls the exchange of spiritual goods, which means that the dead who are in purgatory are no longer able to pray for themselves, but they can pray to God for us, and we can continue to pray for them. So we actually do them a great spiritual good, and in the event that they have been released from purgatory and in eternity, then the merit of those prayers will be applied to someone else, so they're never going to be wasted. I hope that helps a little bit.
I understand. That I understand, but I'm talking about talking to them, and, you know, like, yeah. Maybe I'll be feeling guilty about my daughter or something like that, and, you know, really, I'm sorry for what I did and or what I didn't do, and... And then, you know, maybe I just don't want to be getting into necromancy. And sometimes, you know, I get really upset and say, come on, will you pray with me, please?
Yeah.
You know, like, and I was told you're not allowed to tell them what to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, our strengths can always be turned against us, Pat. We can want something that we're very attached to in a good way. In this case, wanting to be consoled in communication with your family. My prayer is really intended for God and intended for intercession. So those are the reasons why we pray to people to intercede for us, or we pray to God. So I think that's probably the best counsel I can give you.
Right. And of course, Pat, we would want to, in particular, avoid any deliberate effort to contact the deceased through a medium or something like that. The Church is explicit in forbidding that.
Yeah.
Do that. I wouldn't do that, but what I was told that, you know, like talking to them is a sin, and I surely
that
don't want to commit a sin, but...
Yeah, that's okay. That strikes me as a little strong, Pat, but again, intercessory prayer, not expecting that it's a communication with them, But they're interceding for us, and we're praying for them. And conversation, of course, with God, and being open to what He is saying to us is what's most important.
Yeah, good direction. Good direction. Thank you very much for calling, Pat. Let's go to Marlene in Jackson, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Marlene, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
God bless you.
And God bless you, Marlene. How can we be of service?
I'm a little confused about the Pope's restricting the Tridentine Mass, and I just want to understand that better.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Marlene. You and I have that in common. The intent of the motu proprio is something that I think many good people, Cardinal Burke among them, trying to sort out for us. I don't mean this in a funny way, but I'm not an official spokesman for the Pope, and I'm only an official spokesman for the Church insofar as I understand things and align my mind and heart with what the Church teaches. The Pope does seem to have a concern about the liturgy and whether those who attend it are doing so with the right spirit. I can say from my personal experience that people who attend the traditional Mass, those that I know, do it with a good spirit, so I don't think there's any worry there. Doesn't mean that there aren't places where there might be some concern. So fortunately, he has left this in the hands of the bishops, and there are many good bishops who have cited Canon 87 from the Code of Canon Law, which allows the diocesan bishop to set aside even disciplinary norms from the Universal Church, from the Holy See, for the good of souls in his diocese. And I think there are several bishops who are following that path because they know that the Mass, the what used to be called the extraordinary form, the Latin Mass, is of spiritual benefit to the souls under their care. I think that's where we should direct our prayers.
Marlene, is that helpful? I can also recommend to you, if you go to Catholic.com, one of the bishops who has invoked this particular canon that my brother speaks of, a friend of ours, Bishop Paprocki of Springfield, Illinois. We had at length on Catholic Answers Live, I don't know, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, not so long ago. And then also I have a piece up on Catholic.com that's maybe 3 weeks old that came out shortly after the motu proprio was released, called Asking Pope Francis the Right Questions, R-I-T-E. And both those may give you a little more insight into what's underway here. All right?
Thank you.
Sure. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Rod in Detroit, watching on YouTube. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
May God bless you both.
God bless you, Rod.
I have a problem. I have just recently returned to the church.
Welcome. Praise God.
I do believe in God. But I'm not really sure if I can take communion because I don't know if I have a truly contrite heart. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, you probably do, or, oh, you know, you went back to the church. You've got to contrite, you know, I've heard it. How do you know if you truly have a contrite heart?
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, so this is it Rod?
Yes.
That I heard? Yes, yeah. Okay, Rod. Well, it's an excellent question. Well, first of all, you have integrity. That's very clear because you're asking an excellent question. I don't know the specifics of your case, but you said you're returning to the church. It would seem to me a good first step would be meeting with a priest to ensure that the steps that you were wanting to take, you're taking under the care of someone who can assist you. So, for instance, if you had never been confirmed, that would be something that you would want to do, especially at this point in your life. If it has been some period of time since you've been to confession, then it will be important for you to get a good examination of conscience and then to make a good confession. On the question of contrition, we can think of it in a couple of different ways. The Church says that imperfect contrition, which means sorrow for sin based on the fear of loss on the fear of punishment, is sufficient for the remission of sin when we make the act of contrition, when we go to confession. Perfect contrition is sorrow for sin based on love. So if we think about it in terms of a family, if I offend someone in my family, my first concern in offending them is because I love them and I know they love me, and I have done something which is contrary to that love. So that's the higher bar, and that's the one that we're aiming for. So those are a few things without knowing all the details. I hope that's of some help.
How about that, Rod? Are we on on our way?
If I may, I guess I should have included the fact that am I truly sorry for my sins or am I afraid of going to hell? And in doing this research, God, I'm going to sound like a jerk, and honest, I don't mean to. I have come across other Catholic sources that say the fear of going to hell or punishment does not make your confession valid. So you can see why I'm kind of nervous here.
Oh, very good. Well, we can help you with that.
No, certainly, Rod, I'm sorry that you've read those things. They've unnecessarily disturbed you. The Church makes it very plain. It's in the Catechism that sorrow for sin based on the fear of loss or the fear of punishment is sufficient for the remission of sin in sacramental confession. And we're striving for a higher goal, as we thought about a minute ago, but the Church realizes we don't want to set the bar too high. In her maternal charity, she says, this is enough. And we know that that's the case with children, and we are God's children. So it's a good starting point, and if you start there, I'm going to imagine that in time, you're going to get higher, and you're going to reach that point where sorrow for sin is going to be based on love. So I'd start where you are, go to confession, and receive absolution. You're on the right path.
Yeah, and when you hear those words of absolution, I absolve you of your sins, you're going to feel this magnificent peace. Rod, I would just add, it's possible that one of these sources you came across, and I'm happy you brought this up because there's an abundance of information and also misinformation on the website, and this is why Catholic.com is a very good resource. But it's possible that one of these people was indicating that imperfect contrition was insufficient to absolve a mortal sin without the sacrament, and that is what the Church in fact teaches. But within the sacrament, imperfect contrition is sufficient, so you can be at peace. My brother, we're looking forward to having you here in just about 6 weeks or
yes.
Five for the Catholic Answers Conference, and there are still a few spaces available, September 23 to 26 here in San Diego. The topic of the conference is Jesus Christ. Who do you say that I am? The whole Catholic Answer speaking team, Tim, Carlo, Jimmy, Trent, our brand new apologist, Joe Heschmeyer is going to be here. Special guest speakers, Paul Gondreau, Sister Mari Stellis, and our special keynote, Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas. And my brother, you will be repeating something that was a greatly popular 2 years ago at our last conference before the pandemic came, which were these two lunchtime talks that we had with Father Cech. So can you give us a little, what are we going to talk about?
I like that one very much. They were maybe a little bit more informal and relaxed. The idea was to give people some practical encouragement on living the Christian life.
Yeah, so wonderful. We're looking forward to having you. So, my friends, it's still opportunity to sign up to what is the greatest Catholic party of the year, the best value in Catholic conferences ever in the history of Catholic conferences. So visit and an amazing room rate at a beautiful hotel, the Hyatt in La Jolla, the Hyatt Aventine, only $164 a night. You would pay a lot more for this hotel if you were just coming as a regular guest. So CatholicAnswersConference.com, CatholicAnswersConference.com. We look forward to seeing you in San Diego right back after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio. The church has 2,000 years of wisdom to share on what it takes to live life gracefully.
You know, we're so overwhelmed by how much our faith has transformed our marriage and family especially. We want everyone to experience the incredible gift that the Catholic vision of life and love really is.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Tomorrow morning, 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. My guest, Father Paul Check, Ask a Priest. My brother, lightning round. We got a bunch of questions here. Let's see how many okay. we can get through before the end of the hour. Mike, in the city of our ancestry, calling from Prague, and watch. I'm assuming that's Prague, Czech Republic, watching on YouTube. Mike, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Quick question. So, the Blessed Mother was created sinless. That's the Immaculate Conception. She was entered bodily into heaven. And I was just curious, why wouldn't God just make everyone like that, being sinless while retaining free will?
It would have made things easier for me. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, it's not. I wish it were a quick question.
Yeah, it is.
Approaching it from the Blessed Mother standpoint, she was preserved with that prevenient grace so that she could be our tainted nature's solitary boast, as Wordsworth called her, so that she could be the Lord's assistant in this profound, marvelous work of redemption. It may be the case that God chose not to restore all of us to the condition of our first parents, Adam and Eve, because there's no reason to believe that we would choose to do anything differently than they did. And so what concupiscence does is reminds us of our need for grace and our dependence on God at all times so that we can deepen our humility and our gratitude.
Mike, we're going to have to leave it there and go to Elsa in Washington, D.C., listening on Sirius XM, EWTN Satellite Radio. Elsa, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
I'm thrilled. Father Check, I was at your shrine last April, and I've got to tell everyone, you all have to go to La Crosse, Wisconsin, and go to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Your Mass in Latin was absolutely exquisite, and then I stayed for the Mass in English, and that was exquisite. Everything was exquisite. Thank you so much for your priesthood.
Elsa, God bless you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
I wish I had a question for you, but I don't have a question. I just want to tell you I pray for you every day.
Praise God. Good. Well, round up some people from Washington, D.C. and make another trip, Elsa. Let's go to Anne Marie in Billings, Montana, listening on KGCR Billings Catholic Radio. Anne Marie, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you. And thank you for taking my call and for all of your work. I have a question about rash judgment. I understand being judgmental is a horrible sin, and I know, that's something I kind of battle. But my question is how the difference between it being a venial sin and a mortal sin, especially when it's thoughts that go through your head, but you never verbalize it and you correct yourself later and say, can't be doing that, you know? But I just am not really sure about it. I've read different things and I'm like, totally lost.
Okay. Well, great question, Anne-Marie. And perhaps one way to approach this is when things flash into our minds or when there's a surge of passion or emotion, we don't necessarily control that initially. The question is, what is our response to it? The problem with rash judgment is that it's something that comes quickly, and then we are not reflecting and responding properly. So the thing to do is to pause and to allow peace and a grace to enter in so that we can make a thoughtful judgment. All judgments are not necessarily bad. We have to make them to be able to live in the world. The rashness comes from the passion and the kind of reflexive, habitual tendency that someone may have in this way. So if you feel something surging, the thing to do is pause, perhaps say a prayer to Our Lady for peace, and then to reflect on what it is that presented itself to you. I hope that would help a little bit.
How's that, Anne-Marie?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, my brother, rash judgment, of course, is one of those things especially exacerbated by the media that so much are and that we're all bound up in, the so-called social media. Pope Francis in Fratelli Tutti is actually quite good on this and even identifies Catholics and Catholic journalists, Catholic commentators who very much get caught up in what I like to call the outrage industry or those irascible passions as you describe them. Without reflecting, yeah. And whatever good that those media may be doing can very, very quickly be overshadowed by just instant and irrational anger.
This form you and I are engaged in right now has a demand for a kind of immediacy.
Right.
Somebody sent an email, someone's a text, and there's something that surges in us. So it actually makes the matter worse. So yeah. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Peyton in Florida, watching on YouTube, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hi, Peyton. What's your question?
So I had a question about how to overcome doubt, and your books and all of your YouTube videos have been so helpful, like the apologetics part.
Great.
But I just, like, it's something that I've struggled with for a while, and I just can't really, you know, like, have faith, and I just don't know, like, what it is or how to get rid of it.
Sure. Are you a baptized Christian, Peyton?
Yes.
Okay. My brother, how can we help her?
Okay. Well, so it's good to remember, Peyton, and I'm glad you asked the question, that faith itself is a gift. And the faith that we receive, as my brother asked, first comes to us at baptism, and then it's strengthened by the other sacraments. So what that means is that because faith is a gift, it's the action of God within us. And what we are doing is, in the words of Mother Teresa, giving God permission, or in the words of our Blessed Mother saying, let it be done to me as you say. What we are doing is making a choice based on an act of trust. So what you're investigating actually is whether God is trustworthy, and there's abundant evidence for that in sacred scripture, in salvation history, in the communion of saints. Those are ways that we can grow in confidence that God is trustworthy. But we need the grace of the sacraments to strengthen faith within us.
My brother, I was going to ask also, Peyton, sometimes people will confuse faith with a feeling that they're having. And my brother mentioned Mother Teresa. We know from her own account that she experienced long periods of what we call dryness, spiritual dryness.
50 years of the dark night of the soul.
Yeah, yeah. So does that help, Peyton?
Yes, definitely. And I was just like, it's been something that I've been struggling with, like, in almost all the time that I've been Catholic. And it's almost like it's always a battle with it. And so, yeah, that definitely was helpful.
Good. Glory.
Okay. God bless you, Peyton.
Take care, Peyton. You're in our prayers. Let's go and see if we can get one more. Pam in Florida, Sirius XM. Pam, if you can ask the question quickly, we can probably get an answer.
Hi. Yes, I was just describing two of my friends who are in their 60s, and they're both divorced, and they're dating, and they can't take communion because of the church's feeling about needing an annulment. My question is, if they take spiritual communion, is that just as good?
All right, my brother.
Yes. So, well, date, of course, defining terms will be helpful here. But yes, those two ladies, your friends, are still married. The spiritual communion will not have the exact effects because if they're in a state of sin, grace will be impeded to some degree. I need a little bit more information, but the most important thing for them is to live out their marriage vows unless and until the church tells them they're not married.
Thank you, Pam. I'm afraid we're going to have to close this hour. Coming up, second hour, the Bible Blueprint for the Priesthood with Carlo Broussard. My brother, a quick blessing before we wrap up.
Through the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe and St. Joseph, may the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be God upon you and me forever. Amen.
All right, my brother. Well, you're in our prayers. Get some rest. Get back to La Crosse. And Cardinal Burke is in our prayers. Right back after a short break, folks, with Carlo Broussard.